This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can hear our TV show, and watch our TV show rather, on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump's executive orders are fomenting mass panic and chaos at so many levels of American society. One of his orders that has not garnered as much attention is his demand that for every new regulation that a federal agency proposes, it will have to offer up two that need to be removed. Trump has characterized regulations as hampering our economy, but in fact, regulations are in place to protect the public, and calling them protections might be more accurate. Regulations require our drinking water and air to be clean, our infrastructure to be safe, even if it costs corporations more to do so. Regulations protect consumers from predatory corporate practices and require pharmaceutical companies to rigorously test drugs before selling them to the public, for example. In weakening regulations, Trump wants to strengthen corporations at the expense of public safety and security. How exactly does that make America great again? My guest is Robert Wiseman. He's a public interest advocate and activist and the president of Public Citizen. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
So what exactly would this two out, one in executive order, if it passes the test of legality, what sort of regulations would it apply to?
Well, it's going to apply to all regulation that the government issues except from independent agencies. So everything that comes from the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Health and Human Services or the Department of Homeland Security, all those things will be covered by this kind of lunatic executive order. The things that will be excluded, there's three categories. One are independent agencies. Those are agencies that don't report directly to the president. It includes, for example, the Federal Communications Commission and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The second category is the executive order exempts the Defense Department. And a third category is things that they will say are exempt, they being the director of office of the Office of Management and Budget, a Trump appointee, or the nominee is an extremist named Mike Mulvaney. And that opens the possibility that they will exempt from this executive order rules that benefit corporations directly and rules that even benefit the Trump Organization businesses directly.
So if federal agencies then comply with this, if they basically say, here is a new regulation that we really need and here are two that we could lose, who decides that the two that will have to be removed should indeed go forward and be removed? Is this something that the White House itself will oversee?
Yeah, it's sort of, it's such a crazy and irrational process. It's pretty hard to get your head around. It seems that the duty will fall on to each agency under the purview of this White House office, the Office of Management and Budget, run by this extremist character, assuming he's to be confirmed. So that means that the Auto Safety Agency, for example, if they want to adopt a new rule related to automatic braking, for example, they're going to have to take two rules off the books. And they're going to have to say, well, we think the cost of the braking rule is whatever, $100 million. They're going to have to find $100 million in costs of existing rules that they're going to take off the books. And that is such a stupid and irrational process. It's hard to believe that it's now been not just proposed, but adopted as law, but it has been, at least until this rule is challenged and struck down.
And so actually, let's examine that. Just because a president signs an executive order doesn't mean it automatically becomes a law of the land, right? I mean, what is the process by which it has to be?
It's a done deal? This is it. He has the authority to do this until it's determined that he doesn't.
So only things like lawsuits or congressional action could stop it?
That's correct.
So if these, if the justification for this is that regulations hamper the economy, how do you respond? Because we hear this often from business leaders. There's too many regulations in place. People who want to start new businesses have to jump through many hoops. And of course, they usually use that example because they want us to invoke in our minds the mom and pop type operations, small, brand new businesses. But what do they really mean when they say that regulations are hampering economic growth?
Yeah, what they really mean is exactly what you said in the opening, which is they just don't want to be bothered with following rules that ensure they don't endanger the public, rip the public off, or poison the environment. It's just as simple as that. But if you look at the actual issues about the economy, what we know is that regulatory failure is responsible for economic costs that vastly outdistance any purported cost of regulation. The financial crash and crisis, and then the Great Recession starting in 2008, that cost the economy about $20 trillion with a T. Now, if you look back at the causes of it, all the kind of corporate shenanigans, the illegal behavior, the deceitful practices, all of those were possible because of regulations that were rolled back, regulations that weren't enforced, and regulations that were evaded. So it was, in fact, a crisis due to regulatory failure. So we know what the cost is when we don't do regulation properly. It threatens just the very existence of the economy. Or you can look at to take one of many other examples, the Gulf oil disaster. Well, BP's oil disaster, that was a regulatory failure. They were violating rules. Rules weren't being properly enforced. The regulatory agency in charge of overseeing offshore drilling was literally in bed with big oil. And the result was we had the greatest environmental disaster in U.S. history, with massive costs throughout the Southeast region of the United States. So the costs are really big of regulatory failure. The actual cost of regulation on business isn't that great. There are a bunch of corporate-funded think tanks in Washington, D.C. and around the country that have concocted extraordinary tales about the costs of regulation that have nothing to do with any actual existing regulation. Sadly, but not really surprisingly, President Trump routinely cites those costs and say regulation costs $2 trillion a year. It's just kind of completely made up number. If you look at actual costs of actual regulation, the costs are pretty small. And if you think about it sensibly, you don't actually look at just cost, you compare costs to benefits. And even when you do that through a really corporate-friendly system, as the Obama administration and previous administrations have done, you find that with Democrat and Republican administrations, rules adopted have benefits that exceed the costs by a minimum 2-to-1 and as much as 14-to-1, depending on your high and low end estimates.
Right.
They just don't proceed with rules where the benefits are diminished or are outdistanced by costs.
Robert, I mean, we see it quite apparent that in many cases, the existing regulations we have are not strong enough or are not being enforced strongly enough, because a lot of times corporations behave as though the fines that would be levied on them for breaking regulations or violating regulations are simply the cost of doing business. Often, those fines or penalties that they have to pay are much smaller than the profits they reap by breaking existing regulations. I mean, there's a huge argument to be made that we need to strengthen regulations, particularly those that protect the public, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need stronger rules in all kinds of areas. You know, we need much stronger rules in the financial sector to prevent bank and credit card and payday lending ripoffs. We've had some progress made since Dodd-Frank was passed, but we have a lot more we need to do. We have the misuse and flaws and drugs killing tens of thousands of people a year. We need stronger safety standards at the Food and Drug Administration. And then we have, you know, you can go down the list of this stuff. And then you have the problems that come from evolving technology. And you just have to have rules that evolve to deal with new things that happen in the economy and new technological standards that emerge. We're moving pretty quickly to self-driving cars. Well, I don't want to live in a world where self-driving cars are self-regulated by the auto companies and Google and Uber. We've got to have national regulation over self-driving cars, or it's a certainty that we're going to have massive safety problems. And you can go down the list. But with this new rule, this new executive order, it's going to be extremely difficult for agencies to move forward with new standards and regulations.
Hmm. Now, the Flint water crisis, one could argue, is also the result of failed regulations, right? I mean, we could go on and on and look at some of the worst disasters where the public, particularly the most vulnerable members of the public, have been impacted. And often that is because either the regulation wasn't strong enough or simply not enforced enough, or some sort of corporate government collusion led to people suffering and existing regulations not being applied. Shouldn't we start referring to regulations as protections? Robert, we recently had a conversation with cognitive scientist George Lakoff, who said the idea, you know, this word regulation does invoke in people the sense that it's throttling the economy. But if we instead refer to it or reframe it as protections, which is what they really are, that we might see a different reaction from the public.
Yeah, well, it turns out that regulation does better in Poland than you might think.
Really?
That even with all of the decades-long campaign against red tape and regulation, if you ask a straight-up question about regulation, the public comes down about 50-50 on it. But there's no question there are ways to frame it that make it a lot stronger. So the word protection is a good word. Safeguards are a good word. Regulatory protections kind of puts it together. People feel even more strong when there's less talk about the abstract idea of regulation and more talk about specific rules or even specific concepts of protecting and ensuring clean air and clean water, the safety of our food, rules to prevent banks from ripping us off. Not surprisingly, people overwhelmingly support those things and cast aside these foolish ideas about red tape that sound and excessive cost that might sound more reasonable when it's a pure abstraction, not being considered against particular kinds of protections that rules advance. And there's also the issues you're also getting at, that people are extremely strongly supportive of stronger enforcement of the rules on the books against corporations. They believe correctly that corporations are able to evade the law, and they don't like it. And they don't like it in principle, and they don't like it in practice, because it leads exactly to the kinds of disasters you're talking about. It's a long list, you know, from predatory practices in the banking industry to ripoffs of at student loans at for-profit colleges, to cars that kill people and the Volkswagen emissions cheating scandal, the BP oil disaster, rail car derailments across the country, predations of the tobacco industry, unsafe food. You can go on for a long time listing what are really regulatory failures
right.
that people are pretty worked up about.
Yeah, I mean, drug testing, chemicals in our food and in our, you know, kitchen implements, et cetera, children's toys, safety. There's so many things, you know, chemicals used on furniture. I mean, there's so many issues. Now, we cannot in any way expect corporations to be good public citizens and simply do the right thing, because by law, corporations and the people that head them are required to maximize profit. I mean, that's basically their greatest incentive, the thing that drives a corporation, and the only thing holding them back from running roughshod and putting profits over public safety are regulations. That's the whole point, is to basically say, sure, you can maximize your profits, but within these constraints so that you don't kill us all. Right?
Yeah, that's right. These are the rules of the game. These are the rules of the game. And the rules by which we permit you to act in the economy mean you don't get to go around hurting people. You don't get to go around lying. You don't go to cheat people. That's what it's all about.
So this idea, the two out, one in, how arbitrary is it? Is this just Trump signing this executive order in his first week to be able to say he's fulfilled a promise that he might have even made relatively flippantly during his campaign? I mean, it sounds so random, two out, one, and you want a new regulation, you gotta remove two regulations if you want one new one. It just sounds so arbitrary.
It sounds that way because it is.
I mean, everything about his presidency seems relatively.
There's an industry of think tanks in Washington that get corporate funding and spend their time trying to devise theories about how to destroy regulation. And the main thing they've talked about for many years now is one in, one out. There's an idea that, well, there's so many regulations, we got to get some off the books. For every new one, let's get rid of one.
Wow.
Trump. You know, he kind of must have heard that idea or saw a tweet or whatever, and he turned it into one.
He'll do one better.
One in, two out.
Wow.
I just made it up. There's no question about it. It's indefensible, and it really is irrational. So when you say arbitrary, I mean, it's a general concept. It's also a legal concept. We think this thing can be challenged and will be challenged. But it is irrational, both by law and common sense. The way you think about whether you want to adopt a new rule or not is, you'd look at that rule and you'd say, well, does it advance an important public purpose? And okay, are there some negative consequences to it? Do those are the benefits worth it for those, whatever those costs or consequences might be? But the only reasonable way to do it is looking at each rule on its own, not by just saying, well, there's some arbitrary limited number of rules we can have. We've already exceeded it, and now for every new one, you got to get rid of two. I mean, there's just story of how that makes sense.
I think you made an important point, though, because, you know, obviously we can't approach government in a blind way that all regulations are necessarily good and destroying regulations are evil or rewriting them. I mean, obviously each regulation should be seen at on a case-by-case basis. If there are indeed regulations that are doing more harm than good, then it makes sense to rework them or do away with them, et cetera, right? I mean, we do have complex sets of regulations because every time there's a new administration, you might get a network or a sort of a labyrinth of regulations that may not all work perfectly together. So it's not to say, I think, that that we should never touch regulations, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, both in principle and, again, and in practice. You know, there's regulations that just benefit corporations. There's regulations to facilitate corporate welfare programs.
Yeah, let's get rid of those.
I'd be quite happy to get rid of
that. Let those be two out. Yeah. So, Robert, finally, give out a website for Public Citizen where people can find out more. And are there recommendations that you can make for opposing this? Are there lawsuits that you know of in the works to overturn this executive order? Are there legislative or congressional efforts to oppose this?
Yeah, well, our main website where folks can go is citizen.org. We have a coalition website focused on regulatory protections called the Coalition for Sensible Safeguards. So sensiblesafeguards.org, but if you just go to citizen.org, you'll be set. On the executive order, its future, you know, we're giving it a hard look. I do think it's likely to be litigated, and I think there's a good chance it'll be struck down. I certainly hope so. This is not the only thing the Trump administration and the Republican Congress are going to be doing to try to undo the modest regulatory achievements of the Obama administration and preceding administrations. So there's going to be a lot of work, both legislative and in the executive agencies, where we're going to have big fights and need mobilization. You know, there's just so much going on right now. World feels a little crazy, and in fact it is. But these things really matter. They are life and death questions over and over, and we're going to, people get connected with us, we'll tell them what they can do to help and when it will really make a difference. Had Trump this morning, by the way, just meeting with Big Pharma, and he's interestingly, he's telling him, look, you're going to have to cut prices and we're going to do something about it. But he also said, we're going to cut regulations for pharma by 75 or 80%. Just both, again, like conceptually, it doesn't even make sense. You can't quantify the regulations in any meaningful way on the pharmaceutical industry. But what he is talking about is slashing the system we have for ensuring safety and efficacy, workability of drugs before we permit them to go on the market. And
so basically Trump's America is we'll have access to as many cheap drugs as we want, but they might kill us. That's his vision for
we'll see where he goes on reducing price. Yeah, well he hasn't yet appointed someone to run the Food and Drug Administration, but he's talking about people with views that are far more radical, extremist than the industry itself has, saying that drugs should just be permitted to go in the market irrespective of any showing of whether or not they work. Even industry doesn't support that and doesn't want it because it actually harmed the industry. That's how extreme things are getting. You're having these Trump people have views that are more extreme than regulated industry itself wants.
Well, I'd love to see if Trump himself would allow himself or anybody from his family to take a needed drug that wasn't properly tested. Robert, thank you for all the work you do and for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Anali.
Robert Wiseman is a public interest advocate and activist and the president of Public Citizen. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.